अश्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीर्वुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 17 एंटिटल्ड डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ द वर्णाश्रम सिस्टम टेक्स्ट नंबर 48।
वैश्यवृत्त्या तु राजन्यो जीवेन मृगययापदि चरेद्वा विप्ररूपेण न नश्ववृत्त्या कतञ्चन। वैश्यवृत्त्या तु राजन्यो जीवेन मृगययापदि चरेद्वा विप्ररूपेण नश्ववृत्त्या कतञ्चन। वैश्यवृत्त्या तु राजन्यो जीवेन मृगययापदि चरेद्वा विप्ररूपेण न नश्ववृत्त्या कतञ्चन।
वैश्यवृत्त्या तु राजन्यो जीवेन मृगययापदि चरेद्वा विप्ररूपेण नश्ववृत्त्या कतञ्चन।
वर्ड टू अ ट्रांसलेशन। वैश्य of the mercantile class, vritya by the occupation, tu indeed, rajanya a king, jivet may maintain himself, mrigayaya by hunting, apadi in an emergency or disastrous situation, charet may act, va or viprarupena in the form of a brahmana, na never, shva of the dog, vritya by the profession, katanchana in any circumstance. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Translation: a king or other member of the royal order who cannot maintain himself by his normal occupation may act as a vaishya may live by hunting or may act as a brahmana by teaching others Vedic knowledge. But he may not under any circumstances adopt the profession of a shudra.
Shudra vrittim bhajed vaishya shudra karakatakriyam krichran mukto na garhyena vrittim lipseta karmana.
A vaishya or mercantile man who cannot maintain himself may adopt the occupation of a shudra, and a shudra who cannot find a master can engage in simple activities like making baskets and mats of straw. However, all members of society who have adopted inferior occupations in emergency situations must give up those substitute occupations when the difficulties have passed.
Vedadhyayasvadasvaha balyannadhyairyatodayam devarshi pitru bhutani madrupanyanvaham yajet.
Translation: one in the grihastha order of life should daily worship the sages by Vedic study, the forefathers by offering the mantra Swada, the demigods by chanting Swaha, all living entities by offering shares of one's meals, and human beings by offering grains and water. Thus, considering the demigods, sages, forefathers, living entities and human beings to be manifestations of my potency, one should daily perform these five sacrifices.
Purport:
the Lord again discusses the duties of those in the household order of life. Obviously, the five ritualistic daily sacrifices mentioned here are meant for those who are not pure devotees of the Lord and who thus have to counteract their exploitation of material nature by the above mentioned sacrifices. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is training householders, sannyasis, brahmacharis and vanaprasas to engage 24 hours a day in the loving service of the Lord. Those who are full-time missionary workers in ISKCON have no further obligations or sacrifices to perform, as confirmed in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Devarshi bhutapta ninam pitranam na kinkaro nayam rinicha rajan sarvatmanaya sharanam sharanyam gato mukundam parihritya kartam. Anyone who has taken shelter at the lotus feet of Mukunda, the giver of liberation, giving up all kinds of obligation and has taken to the path in all seriousness, vows neither duties nor obligations to the demigods, sages, general living entities, family members, humankind or forefathers.
Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namavo Mishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschati Dashatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
So today we are discussing the section on the Apat Dharma, the duties at the time of emergency. And there is also a verse, the description of the Apat Dharma ends with the 49th verse. And the 50th verse, Krishna describes about the duties of a grihastha, about the different sacrifices to the demigods, and one should please the four the rishis by the Vedic study, and one should offer oblation to the forefathers by performing the Shraddha rites, and one should please the general living entities by doing Atithi Seva, by doing guest reception, and considering that all the living entities are manifestation of Supreme Lord's potency, one should actually even provide charity for the living entities and do Atithi Seva. And that is how the duties of the Grihastha Ashram begins. The 48th and 49th verse talk about the duties and the time of emergency for a Kshatriya, Vaishya and a Shudra. So, I'll discuss something about the Apad Dharma, and then I'll discuss something about the, in general, about the importance of Varnashram Dharma. So, Apad Dharma, as the name itself suggests, that it is the duties at the time of emergency, when a Brahmana or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya or Shudra, when they are not able to maintain themselves through their normal occupational duties, they are actually told to perform certain other occupational duties. Just like even we see the the modern management gurus, they also mention, when you make a particular system, how robust your systems are determined by how you handle the exceptions. When you make a particular system, there are always exceptions to a particular system. But how you are going to handle those exceptions, that shows that how robust your systems are. So even in the Vedic culture, when Krishna describes the Varnashram system, he mentions about the normal occupational duties, and also he mentions what are the duties at the time of emergency. So, like many times, and also it is mentioned that what a person adopts during emergency, that should be given up when the emergency is gone. If you continue to perform the Apad Dharma even after the emergency is over, then it becomes Adharma. For example, Prabhupada once mentioned that in the absence of a castor seed tree, in the absence of a banyan tree, even a castor seed tree is considered to be a big tree. Banyan tree is a very big tree, but in the absence of a banyan tree, even a castor seed tree is considered to be a big tree. So, like he mentioned that in the absence of a qualified Brahmana or a qualified sannyasi, so sometimes we had to give we have to give sannyas daksha to somebody. But once that emergency is over, it's not that castor seed tree is always is a big tree. It's in the absence of a banyan tree. So, but that cannot be taken as a big tree all the time. So he mentioned that, like, for example, once Prabhupada went to the Australia, one of the first or second visit, like he gave like Brahman initiation to somebody who just joined the temple 1 week back or a few weeks back, were like very new to the Krishna consciousness, were completely new to the culture. And then Prabhupada installed the deities, and then he prayed to the deities that, you please, all these people are completely untrained, that you please actually inspire them. I'm actually leaving you under the care of these people, but all these people are not trained. So please actually tolerate their service and then somehow inspire them to serve them in the proper way. But in the 1977, in one conversation, Prabhupada mentions that there is no need to give Brahman initiation to everyone. In the beginning of the movement, we had to initially emphasize on creating the Brahmanas, because in the absence of the first thing you need in a society or in a body is the head. So that becomes the most important. Therefore, in the beginning of the movement, we told about the importance of creating Brahmanas. But now, after 12 years of fast, 1977, he mentioned that there is no need to give Brahman citizenship to everyone, and one can attain perfection in whatever situation one is in. Sve sve karmanya abhirata samsiddhim labate nara swakarma nirata siddhim vindati manava. He says, whether a person is a Brahmana or Kshatriya or Vaishya or Shudra, by worshipping the Supreme Lord through his occupational duties, one can attain perfection. So we see that, therefore, whenever we read Srila Prabhupada's conversations, lectures, this one, we have to learn to derive the eternal principle, and we also have to separate the context. So sometimes, in a particular context, Prabhupada might have spoken something, in a particular state of an emergency or particular, depending on the disposition of a particular person. And from that, we can learn certain eternal principle. At the same time, we also have to separate the context. Otherwise, without taking into consideration of the context, when we quote Srila Prabhupada's statement, without seeing whom he was talking to, who are all present in that audience, what was the background of them, and when we try to generalize it for all time, then we can create a disturbance. We can actually create a wrong parampara. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions in one of his writings, he says that the symptom of an apasampradaya is that they take an extraordinary time, place and circumstance instruction from an empowered acharya and make it as a general standard. So one of the quality of a devotee is that he acts according to time, place and circumstance, which is one of the quality of Krishna. Desha kala supatragya. So when we take a particular instruction given in a particular time, place and circumstance, and when you make it as a general standard, then that gives rise to the apasampradaya. So that is why we find that when Srila Prabhupada was criticized by some of the caste brahmanas, that how can you give say Brahman initiation to some of these people who are from a different background, and and they were criticized, how can you give sannyas initiation to these people, some people from the western background, etc. So Prabhupada gave two arguments. One argument he gave from the point of view of the Bhagavad Dharma, and he would quote this particular verse, Aho bata shvapachato gariyan yajjikvagre vartate namatubhyam tepus tapaste juhuvur sashnurarya brahmanuchur nama grinanti yete. He mentioned, this was Devahuti is saying, Aho bata shvapachato gariyan. He says that if a person, even if he is born in a family of a dog eater, if he actually chants, if he remembers you, if he chants your holy names, if he takes the process of bhakti, then he becomes immediately qualified to perform the Vedic sacrifices. In fact, the next verse, Devahuti says that one who is performing devotional service, he should be considered to have performed all the vratas. He should have considered to have gone to all the holy places of pilgrimage, and he should have considered to have performed all the different preliminary activities of he should have considered to have performed all the Vedic sacrifices. So he has already done that in the past life. In that way, Devahuti is glorifying about the process of bhakti. So Prabhupada would quote this verse to show that because these people have taken to the process of bhakti sincerely, although they might have come from certain hippie background or from a very sinful background, but based on the this pramana of this particular verse spoken by Devahuti, they should have been considered to have gone through all this, all the preliminary rituals of piety. In that way, Prabhupada, he would argue back against the caste brahmanas. But another argument also Prabhupada would give based on this apadharma. He would say that, like, in the time of emergency, when there are no qualified brahmanas present, so therefore we had to give brahman diksha, or we had to give like a sannyas diksha to people who are not qualified, because there was a need of the hour. And that is also mentioned in the Shastra, based on Narada Muni also mentioned in the 7th canto, and also we find here in the Krishna's instruction to Uddhava. So Prabhupada argued both from the point of view of the Bhagavad Dharma and also from the point of view of the Varnashram Dharma to answer the statements of the caste Goswamis. So, so talking about this Varnashram Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions in Chaitanya Shikshamrita. So many times people quote this response of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Ramananda Rai. When Ramananda Rai spoke, one should perform the Varnashram duties to please Lord Vishnu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Oh, this is something external. Tell me something more." So Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that from this statement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one should not conclude that Mahaprabhu has ordered us to discard Varnashram Dharma. If that would have been the case, then he would not have instructed all living entities through his pastimes of completely following the orders of Grahastha and Sannyas. The fact that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a Grahastha and then he took Sannyas, that showed that he actually followed the Varnashram system. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected Varnashram, when Ramananda Rai spoke that verse from Vishnu Purana, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected Varnashram as the goal, but he did not reject Varnashram as a lifestyle. Because we find several evidences on Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Why Mahaprabhu was very reluctant to give his audience to Prataprudra Maharaj? Because he wanted to follow the role of a sannyasi. Although Prataprudra Maharaj was such a great devotee, but he wanted to follow the principles of a sannyasi of not mixing with some materialistic men. Why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to marry second time after his first wife died, although he knew that he would be taking sannyas in the very near future? Because he wanted to follow the system of Varnashram, which says that when a person stays at home, one should stay with a wife. Why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when another example is, when Govinda, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's servant, he once Mahaprabhu asked for some haritaki. Then Govinda immediately came and brought some haritaki. Then Mahaprabhu said, "Yesterday when I asked, after some delay you gave the haritaki, but today you are giving me immediately. How is it that you are giving me immediately?" He said, "I stored something yesterday for tomorrow's." So Mahaprabhu said, "No, that is not proper. As a sannyasi, we are not supposed to store something for the future. We have to depend on Krishna." So in that sense, these pastimes indicate that how Mahaprabhu followed Varnashram as a lifestyle. Another example is the episode of how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so strictly dealt with the Chota Haridas. That is also, that pastime also demonstrates how Mahaprabhu followed the Varnashram as a lifestyle. And even the story of Devadasi, once some Devadasis were singing some songs in glorification of the Lord, Mahaprabhu in his ecstasy, he started running towards in that direction in order to embrace that person who was actually glorifying Lord Jagannath. Then Govinda somehow stopped Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he said that, "Do you know, I think Govinda or Swarup Damodar Goswami stopped that, do you know, like, whatever you're going to do, you are going to actually embrace one woman who was actually singing the glories of Lord Jagannath. And Mahaprabhu said, oh, today you have saved me from committing suicide. Oh, if I had done that, then I would have to commit suicide. You have saved me. So in that sense, Mahaprabhu was very cautious about Varnashram principles. And another episode which talks about how Mahaprabhu followed Varnashram is that Mahaprabhu's instruction to Mukunda Sarkar, Narahari Sarkar and Raghunandan. To all these three people, Mahaprabhu gave one instruction of you engage in the service of Krishna. But at the same time, depending on the material situation and the different nature, he gave different instructions. To Mukunda Sarkar, he said that because you are a grahastha, you earn material wealth as well as spiritual wealth. And to Narahari Sarkar, he mentioned, and you take sannyas and then you actually propagate the message of the Supreme Lord and you preach Krishna consciousness. To Raghunandan, he mentioned that you remain as a brahmachari and you engage in the worship of the deities. So in that sense, we find that Mahaprabhu giving instructions based on their nature, engaging all of them in the service of Krishna, but at the same time there is a difference depending on their nature. And another example we find is that Mahaprabhu dealing with Kurma Brahmana, in the Kurma Kshetra, Mahaprabhu met one Brahmana and then he was so enlivened by Mahaprabhu's association and he told Mahaprabhu that I am actually terribly suffering in the miseries of material existence. I want to leave home and I want to come along with you. But Mahaprabhu discouraged him. He said that, no, you must stay at home and you must chant Hare Krishna. And whomever you meet, you speak about Krishna. Yare deko tare kaha Krishna upadesh. And you should not come with me. You should continue to remain in the grahastha ashram like that he mentioned. So these are some of the instances which show that how Mahaprabhu accepted Varnashram as a lifestyle. But when he spoke to Ramananda Rai, telling Ramananda Rai to speak something more when he said that, oh, this is something external. So he rejected Varnashram as the goal of life. Because in the Ramananda Samvad, Mahaprabhu wanted to establish, the goal is to actually to develop love for Krishna. And the process for achieving that goal is the sadhana bhakti. So, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that as long as one has a material body, the system of Varnashram must be followed. But it should remain under the full control and domination of bhakti. So Varnashram is like the foundation for one's supreme occupational duty. And when a person becomes mature in the supreme occupational duty, when a person achieves the goal, then the Varnashram is gradually neglected. So, and another place, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that though all the humans have a right to practice bhakti, those who follow the regulations of Varnashram have a much easier time. Another place he says that with the assistance of Varnashram, a person should cultivate bhakti. It is also necessary to follow the rules of Varnashram in the cultivation of bhakti. So, essentially, if we see the Varnashram Dharma and the Bhagavad Dharma, so Varnashram Dharma is related with the body and the mind, and Bhagavad Dharma is in relation to the soul. It is the Dharma of the soul. So, the body and mind cannot be neglected. At the same time, all attention should not be given only to the body and mind. So, we find that when the body and mind are neglected, that means that when Varnashram Dharma is neglected, then like people overemphasize on the transcendence. There is an emphasis only on the devotional service. So when the body and mind are neglected, there is an overemphasis on the transcendence. And what is the result of over-emphasizing on transcendence? So generally those who over-emphasize on transcendence, they all the time speak only about going back to Godhead. So they mainly think, they ask about going back to Godhead. And when a person is... So it is a sort of actually selfishness in one sense, that one is mainly interested in oneself going back to Godhead, but one does not put any effort to create a legacy for the next generation to practice bhakti comfortably. So Varnashram Dharma is required for the stability of the practice of Bhagavad Dharma and for actually creating the good legacy for the future. So when a person talks about only about oneself going back to Godhead, that one forgets, one doesn't work hard to actually create a legacy for the good, better legacy for the next generation. And when a person overemphasizes on transcendence, then it also results in accelerating the process of renunciation. A person actually accelerates, emphasizes more on the external renunciation is something, and in a certain stage of life it has to be practiced, it has to be kept within, and externally one is supposed to act as if attached. For example, in the grihastha ashram, one is supposed to keep the renunciation within, but externally one should appear as if he is attached. But when there is an overemphasis on transcendence, one accelerates the external process of renunciation. So then it only creates something like artificially ripened mangoes. We find artificially ripened mangoes before the season, which are actually filled with chemicals which are harmful for the health. So similarly, when there is a acceleration of the process of renunciation, it may be harmful for that person and also for the society. And that is why we find, if we study historically also in the organizations, because there was a acceleration of the renunciation, then later, after many years, many sannyasis stepping down at a later age, their marriages at the age of 50 or 60, like that. So then that also results in actually faith getting shaken. Many people's faith also get shaken, because one of the reason is that the body and mind were completely neglected. But those people who are like maybe disciples of them, and then their faith gets shaken. And then another result of overemphasis on transcendence is that it also manifests in the form of imposing Brahminical culture upon everyone. Like Prabhupada, again in one conversation he mentions, like in the beginning of the movement, we emphasize mainly on the Brahmanas. But now also, if we emphasize mainly on the Brahmanas, you will attract a very small section of the population. If you have to reach out to a large number of population, you have to introduce Varnashram system. If you have to exponentially increase the distribute the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you have to you cannot emphasize only on the Brahminical culture. Depending on the person's nature, you encourage them in the service of Krishna, and then also preach sadhana bhakti, chanting of the holy names. That's common for everyone. So when there is overemphasis on transcendence, one imposes Brahminical culture upon everyone. For example, if we see Lord Vamanadeva, when he spoke to Bali Maharaj, he said that a Brahmana who is not satisfied with three steps of land, even if he gets the, like so much of wealth, he will not be satisfied. He said that if a Brahmana, if he asks for charity more than that is required, and by that he falls down. So Vyamanadev, he was playing the role of a brahmachari, and for a brahmachari and brahmana, the principle of satisfaction, the principle of being satisfied with whatever ones have, that is a very core principle for the brahmachari and a brahmana. But the same Vamanadev, in the role of when he's instructing Uddhava in the Uddhava Gita, maybe one of the verses in this chapter only. So Krishna says to Uddhava that the natural quality of a Vaishya is that he has a ever increasing desire to earn more money. And this desire is not a materialistic greed, provided it is supplemented with other qualities like dedication to charity and following the Vedic principles and being respectful to the Brahmanas. So the same Krishna, when he's not imposing the Brahminical culture upon everyone, he's saying there is a natural quality of Vaishya. One simply has to supplement it with the other qualities by developing the quality of being dedicated to charity. And when a person overemphasizes on transcendence, it also results in different problems in the married life. There are different disruptions, separation. Like for example, if you see in the Srimad Bhagavatam itself, there is a detailed description about the Grihastha Ashram, the enjoyment of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. And in one verse it's explained that the Kardama Muni's enjoyment with Devahuti in the Grihastha Ashram, that was glorified even by the perfected beings. Because it was within the realm of Dharma, and it was for a divine purpose. It was for a divine purpose. It had the right purpose, and it was within the realm of Dharma. So when there is a overemphasis on transcendence, it also results in when the body and mind are neglected, it also results in actually different problems in the married life. And also when we talk about children, when the children were emphasized only on transcendence and when their body and mind are neglected, and that result in different child abuse cases and millions of dollars are being paid. So if we see, many of the problems can be related with neglecting the Varnashram system or neglecting the body and mind. And you neither neglect it, and at the same time it is not that all the attention should be paid to the body and mind. So therefore, that's why Prabhupada mentions in that Shukracharya's instruction to Bali Maharaj, this point that how the body and mind should not be neglected, at the same time all attention should not be paid to them. And then, one of the things which people often quote is that, oh, bhakti is independent of Varnashram. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhaktir adokshaje ahaituki apratihata. Vishnu Chakotipadi begins the Madhurya Kadambini with this concept, how bhakti is independent. There are several quotations. He mentions that. So, if we see, bhakti is independent of Varnashram, bhakti is independent of all situations, but still, Kapiladev talks about bhakti in three modes. Bhakti in goodness, passion and ignorance. If bhakti is independent, is Kapiladev contradicting the Siddhanta by talking about bhakti in goodness, passion and ignorance? How do we understand that? So Vishnu Chakotipad says that bhakti is transcendental, but because the practitioner of bhakti is not transcendental, so based on the mode in which the practitioner is there, So bhakti is classified as bhakti in sattvaguna, rajoguna and tamoguna. Like for example, water is transparent. But depending on the soil in which it passes through, it could be red soil, black soil or a white soil, it becomes differently colored. So therefore, we have to understand this point. The Siddhanta is bhakti is independent of Varnashram, but the practitioner is not transcendental. So therefore, he needs the help of Varnashram. So therefore, Varnashram is required for the steady practice of bhakti. So there are four categories of people we can classify based on their response towards the devotional service, Bhagavad Dharma, and towards the Varnashram Dharma. So we love Krishna by practicing devotional service, which is mainly the 9 process of bhakti or the 64 items of bhakti. We express our love to Krishna by performing Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, all these processes. And we respect Krishna by following the system established by him. So the first category of person is that one neither loves Krishna nor shows respect to the system given by Krishna. For example, we have the example of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu mentioned that I will kill Vishnu, I will cut off the head of Vishnu, and I will offer the blood of Vishnu to my brother Hiranyaksha. And in that way, I will repay my debt towards my brother Hiranyaksha. So Hiranyakashipu hated Vishnu from the core. He wanted to kill Vishnu. And he also disrespected, he hated the system of Vishnu also. He said that, he gave instruction that go to all the places wherever the brahmanas are performing yajnas, you kill the brahmanas. Wherever there is good protection for the cows and the brahmanas, wherever the Vedas are studied in terms of the Varnashram principles, set fire to those places and cut from the roots the trees there which are the source of life. So he also acted against the system of established by Krishna, that is Varnashram. He wanted to send pious people to hell and sinful people to heaven. And second category of people is that those who respect the system given by Krishna, but they don't love Krishna. So we have one example, I can think of like Shukracharya. Like Shukracharya, when he gave advice to Bali Maharaj, whatever advice he gave, it was based on the dharmic principles only. He said that Shastras say that learned people don't appreciate that charity which endangers one's livelihood. Just according to dharma only. And it, even though you have made a promise, still you can lie because Shastras say that one can lie in certain circumstances. In that sense, he spoke based on the Shastra. But then, he was against the person who is the foundation of dharma. He spoke based on dharma, but he was against the person who is the foundation of dharma because he advised Bali Maharaj, do not surrender to the Vishnu who has come as Vamanadev. And we have the example of Jarasandha. He was respectful to the brahmanas. He would give charity to the brahmanas, whatever they would ask. But he was against Krishna. He wanted to kill Krishna. So there are people who may respect the system created by Krishna, but not Krishna. I think there was one person who wrote a book glorifying Duryodhan as Ravan as the hero. One devotee went and met him. And to his surprise, he saw that that person has a very pious lifestyle and he also has certain rituals, he also has certain sadhana, has very pious lifestyle. But he is against the person Krishna, he is against the person Ram, and he is glorifying demons like Ravana and Duryodhan to be the great heroes. So we all these have certain psychology, all these personalities, those psychologies we can find even in the modern times. And the third kind of person is that one who loves Krishna but does not respect the system given by Krishna. And that means one who does not respect the system given by Krishna, that is Varnashram Dharma. Like for example, Bhishma had a great love for Krishna. Drona also had great love for Krishna. He left his body by remembering the Supreme Lord. But Bhishma and Drona, they were one of the main obstacles for establishing the Dharma Rajya, which was desired by Krishna. Because they were the main obstacles for actually, one of the main obstacles for establishing the Dharma Rajya. So therefore, that when a person worships God, but disrespects his own system, one falls into the same predicament as Bhishma and Drona. So, for that sake, they had to face the reaction. Bhishma was killed, Drona was killed. And the fourth kind of person, like we find this kind of psychology is also present in the modern times. There are, within the Vaishnava community, they may love Krishna, they may practice the sadhana bhakti, but they will speak against the system of Varnashram, which is a system established by the person whom you worship. So there are this kind of psychology you may also find within the Vaishnava society, that people may speak against the Varnashram, which is established by Krishna, although they may practice sadhana bhakti. So they may write like the communists or the leftists, who are against the system of Krishna. And the fourth kind of person is that those who love Krishna and also respect the system of Krishna. So this is the role model. Like this is what we want to actually, we want to come to this level, that we want to love Krishna and we also want to respect the system given by Krishna. And we have the example of Narada Muni. Narada Muni, he spoke in detail about the Sharanagati of Prahlad Maharaj in the seventh canto. But he also described in detail about the Varnashram Dharma in the last five chapters of seventh canto. So Narada Muni is the role model for all the preachers. Prabhupada calls Narada Muni as the father of devotional service. But we will very rarely find preachers who have an integral understanding of Bhagavad Dharma and Varnashram Dharma. But Bhagavad Dharma, Narada Muni could speak both about Bhagavad Dharma and also about Varnashram Dharma. And we have the example of the Pandavas. Pandavas, Bhagavatam describes that te sadhu krita sarvartha gyatva atyantika matmana manasa daraya masur vaikunta charanambujam. So Pandavas had performed all the duties such as dharma and artha as it should be done, and understanding the endless nature of these duties, they meditated on the lotus feet of Krishna with their minds. So Pandavas, they loved Krishna, but they also respected the system given by Krishna. So they followed all the duties of dharma and artha as it should be done. We have the example of Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj, Prabhupada says that Prithu Maharaj did not allow himself to function outside the institution of Varnashram, although he was a Paramahamsa Vaishnava. He was in the topmost level of Vaishnavism, but still he did not allow himself to function outside the system of Varnashram. He remained at his position as a Kshatriya to rule the world, and at the same time remained transcendental to such activities by satisfying the Supreme Lord. So therefore, lastly, I will conclude with, what is the difference between truly transcendental devotees and pseudo-transcendental devotees? So truly transcendental devotees, like we saw the example of Prithu Maharaj, Prabhupada says he was in the stage of Paramahamsa, but still they did not act outside the system of Arunanda Ashram. While doing that, they still remained transcendental. And this is what Baldev Vidya Bhushan calls in his book as Parinishtita Bhakta. Such kind of devotee as Parinishtita Bhakta. And there is also another type of transcendental devotee who is called as a Nirapeksha Bhakta, who doesn't perform any of the duties of Varnashram, is completely transcendental. He is completely oblivious to the Varnashram duties, like the example of Jadabharat. Jadabharat, whenever he was taught about how to chant the Gayatri Mantra, how to perform the different rules of, how he was taught the different rules of a Brahmacharya, as a Brahmana, but he would do exactly the opposite thing. But Jadabharat also, he showed his transcendence with regards to his eating. Sometimes people would throw some horse food to him, some dry chickpeas which is meant for the horse, but Jadabharat would not oppose anything. And for example, another example of a Nirapeksha Bhakta is a gopis. When they heard the flute sound of Krishna, they did not even dress themselves properly. Like for women, dressing themselves properly, it is one of the women's psychology demands to dress themselves properly. But gopis were so transcendental that like they put the upper garment and the lower garment, or they did not put some ornaments properly, or they did not comb their hair properly, because they were so much eager to meet Krishna, they became completely transcended the bodily platform. They went to meet Krishna in the middle of the night in the forest. So Nirapeksha Bhakta, they may break the Varnashram principles, like the gopis broke the principles of chastity, but we also have to see how they did not care anything on the bodily platform. They were completely oblivious to the bodily platform. And the example of Madhavendra Puri, who mentioned that, "I say goodbye to Sandhya Vandanam prayers, I say goodbye to Shraddha rites, I say goodbye to all these things. I just want to focus only on actually serving Krishna." But Madhavendra Puri, he would not even make an attempt to beg something when he would be hungry. So these are the examples of truly transcendental devotees. They can be either Parinishtita Bhakta or a Nirapeksha Bhakta. The example of Prithu Maharaj as a Parinishtita Bhakta, or Nirapeksha Bhaktas as the example of Jadabharat, the gopis, or the Madhavendra Puri. But pseudo-transcendental devotees are those who think that they are transcendental, and they depend very much on the stability created by the Varnashram. But when it comes to speaking or hearing, they will say that, "Oh, I only want to hear pure Krishna Katha. I don't want to hear any other dharma. I don't want to speak any other thing." Although their practice of bhakti is very much dependent on others performing their Varnashram duties, and it provides a good stability for them, but they speak as if, or they behave as if Varnashram is something secondary. Although they are not in the transcendental platform, but they think this, they are transcendental. Like for example, if we see in the case of Bhishma Dev, when he was in the deathbed, like each and every inch of his body was actually pierced by the arrows. In that state, Prabhupada explains that he maintained a transcendental consciousness. Krishna took Yudhishthira Maharaj to Bhishma Dev because he wanted to glorify Bhishma Dev. Even in that situation, he was in a transcendental consciousness. He completely transcended the bodily platform, but when he spoke to Yudhishthira Maharaj, he spoke elaborately about Varnashram Dharma. There are 1,800 pages of instructions in the Mahabharata where he spoke elaborately about the Varnashram Dharma. And Sukadeva Goswami, he was completely above the bodily platform. He couldn't even distinguish between a male and a female. Many of the young ladies, they did not even cover their bodies by seeing Sukadev Goswami, although he was a young 16-year-old man. But Sukadev Goswami, he heard patiently about all the different dharma spoken by Bhishma Dev, the different aspects of Varnashram Dharma, which are all related to the body and mind. So we see that even truly transcendental devotees, they also respect the Varnashram Dharma, but the pseudo-transcendental devotees, although they are not transcendental, but they behave as if they are transcendental. So therefore, it is important that we need to have an integral understanding of dharma. So Varnashram Dharma creates a material stability, and Bhagavad Dharma helps us to go internally, helps us to develop our internal consciousness, to develop our absorption on Krishna. For most people, material stability is required in order to contemplate about the higher goals of life. So that is why Krishna told Arjuna to fight the battle to establish the Dharma Rajya, which will create the stability for the people so that they can contemplate about the higher goals of life. So therefore, those who teach Bhagavad Dharma should give practical guidance based on Varnashram Dharma. Otherwise, the teaching of Bhagavad Dharma, it will lack the practicality aspect. It will remain only on the idealistic platform. And those who teach Varnashram Dharma should emphasize that the purpose of Varnashram is to actually please Krishna. Otherwise, their teaching lacks the substance. Their teaching lacks the substance of Bhagavad Dharma, which is to actually Samsiddhir Haritoshanam. So therefore, what we discussed today was that we discussed about the four types of people in response to the in response to Krishna and the system created by Krishna, and we discussed about the Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes about the importance of Varnashram Dharma, and how we discussed that how Varnashram Dharma should not be neglected. At the same time, all attention should not be paid only to Varnashram. And we discussed several points about the neglect of Varnashram Dharma, which is related to the body and mind. And when there is a overemphasis on transcendence, how it results in so many practical problems we can see in a family or a bigger institution or a community. And then we also discussed about the concept of Apad Dharma. So with that, I'll end here. Krantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.